Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and Friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Good morning. Mike Iosa, your host for Market Views, my very good friend, Mr. Fred Meissner from the Fred Report. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm fine, Ike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I was very looking forward to speak with you today. We haven't spoken since late June, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts because I'm looking at two indices right here, the NDX, QQQ, and the Russell 2000, IWM. The Qs, the NDX, are not all that far from their yearly highs. The Russell 2000, IWM, are very close to their yearly lows. What do you make of this contradictory year-to-day performance between these two indices?
I'm actually thinking the market is going to move away from technology and into, I'm actually looking at banks in a rally, year-end rally that is going to start from this area as early as tomorrow. That's what I told my subscribers. We came out this morning and said we wanted to see a down open today and a choppy day that closes down, and then a down open tomorrow, and then I think this is pretty much done as a correction. Now, obviously the question is, will the market broaden out? If it doesn't, I think this move is like the move back up in 1970 when the Dow went up to the highs and nothing else did, and then we have a 4 to 5 year mega bear with a collapse.
Okay. You and I have spoken several times over a research paper that you co-wrote. And you made a very good case that the Russell 2000 is the best performer during the first year after a recession has taken place. My question to you is this. If the Russell 2000 is the best index after a recession, is it also the worst index going into a recession? Because actually, this is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. It depends on the causes of the recession. If the recession is due to inventory buildup, the whole idea behind that paper is that the United States leads coming out of a worldwide recession. And the small cap stocks lead because they do not have international exposure.
Okay, makes sense.
So, you know, the real question is, first of all, you know, everyone is looking for the recession, which so far I'm not so sure we've had. And second of all, will we see leading on the part of, you know, the small cap coming out of it when we do? In other words, will the United States lead the way out of a recession, assuming we have one? I'm in the camp that we may very well not have a recession. But we've seen a number of things this year that have reminded me of the period in the late 60s.
Such as?
Okay. The biggest one is everyone is talking about how technology has performed extremely well. But if you bought tech in the last few months of 2021, 2022, and beginning of 2022, you don't have any performance at all.
That's true.
What I think you're going to see, because I don't think we're going to have a really bad bear market like we had then. Although, Ike, the real kicker here is, have we finally seen the low in interest rates that's going to lead to interest rates in this country going back to 15% to 20%?
But it's a tough call to make.
Yeah, but and again, where I'm getting that idea from is, and any one of our clients can look at this. If you look at BigCharts.com, okay. And you're welcome to do this even while we're on the phone, Ike. And you look at TYX, you'll see the 30-year bond symbol comes up when you type in TYX. You have to click on it because there's a couple X's in front of it.
It's one of the charts that I look at very closely on a regular basis.
Right. Now, look at all data.
Okay, I got data going back to 1980.
This downtrend has broken.
Yeah. May I share something with you?
Sure.
Okay, look. Many new smart and knowledgeable people I know, and also many of the charts that I have studied, are saying the same thing, that trends in interest rates tend to be generational. They last 2-3 decades. Now, we have had declining rates for 40 years, from 1982 until 2022. Let's suppose, and it's only supposition, that not for the next 40 years, but let's say for the next 20 years, for the next 10 years, the trend in interest rates is higher. The last time somebody who actually managed money in a rising interest rate environment was in the 70s. That was 50 years ago. Even if they were 25 to 30 years old back then, right now, they're between 75 and 80. They're out of the business. My point is, there is not one person right now in the business with actual experience of what it means to manage money in a rising interest rate environment. To me, that's a call for caution and humility from people like us who make a living analyzing the markets.
Yeah, and we could see, especially because the amount of debt in this country, you know, on the federal level is much larger than it was back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because actually, and one of the things we could see, and I've got charts, the interest rate charts going back way beyond 1980. Back into the 1700s, 1800s. We've had several of these cycles, and I won't say that it's even bad for equities. What I will say is it's different.
Yeah, I agree. That's my point.
Okay. Yeah, it's different. And it's not even bad for bonds, but it's different. What I've been recommending on the interest rate front for clients over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, while I've been away, is that now is the time to start buying the long-dated bullet shares.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with what bullet shares are.
Yes.
If you want to speculate in the bond market or even get income, you want to buy the long-dated bullet shares and essentially ladder them. The idea of bond ladders came not in the 80s and 90s, but in the 60s and 70s. And I think that's going to be one of the very best investments for income going forward. But it could be very, very interesting if we don't see a rally that I think is starting in the next 2 weeks and maybe starting as early as tomorrow, into the end of the year, that broadens the market out a bit. You know, there's a couple of sectors that look phenomenal. Take a look at the long-term chart of XLV as in Victor Healthcare.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a nice long-term consolidation that could turn into a solid advance. And there's all sorts of compelling reasons for why it should. People are getting older, so on and so forth. And I've always felt the nature of markets is to stage a big move up to discount fundamentals and then go sideways while the fundamentals are catching up. And that's what I think has happened with healthcare.
Before we move on, for the benefit of those who do not know what bullet shares are, can you please tell us?
A bullet share is an ETF that buys generally 1 to 300 bonds that all mature in a certain year. And when those bonds mature, the bullet share goes away and you get your money back.
Yes.
Plus the income.
Yep, yep.
Okay. So it's a defined outcome. You can't lose. If you buy a mutual fund or an ETF like TLT, theoretically, you could buy TLT at this price and it may never see this price again if it collapses.
Absolutely. And I think many people do not realize that.
Yes, many people do not realize that. Many people don't realize that interest rates can keep going up.
Yeah.
One of the noteworthy things to me is, and this is, I think, very important, and people aren't talking about it at all, is that we've seen this last push up in interest rates without the Fed raising rates to speak of in September.
Yes, absolutely.
In other words, they may be losing control here.
I agree. And that's a risk people should not ignore.
Right. And Ike, there's one other thing I would mention that is very interesting here, that I think that is very, very important, and most people don't realize it. Again, if you look at the longest term charts of the dollar you can find, you can see that the dollar started an uptrend in 2014 that is still going strong. And when I look back and when I look in and I or people tell me, first of all, that the dollar is weak, I tell them, no, it's not. It's getting stronger by the month. And the second thing is that this idea that somehow they're going to build a substitute for the dollar in international currency. Yeah. The BRICS are going to get together and they're going to build, you know, the rupee is suddenly going to be it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I completely disagree with that. I don't think that's at all possible ever, unless, and I'll tell you why I say that. Having a reserve currency means that you need a place to put the money.
And also be able right? to take it out if you want to.
Yeah, and take it out easily, which means you need a broad and deep liquid bond market.
Yes.
And no one else has that but us.
Exactly.
It's just not possible. I mean, I just don't see it. And the other thing I would mention here is the idea that somehow Bitcoin is going to become a reserve currency. And to my mind, it's way too volatile for that. I was in Central America last week on my way home, and I ran into several people that invested their Costa Rican money, colones, into Bitcoin as a reserve instead of dollars and lost 80% of it.
Yep.
You can't have a reserve currency where the possibility of a 50 or 60% loss exists.
Well, you can't have a business that accepts this kind of currency because the volatility of the currency prohibits you from doing any kind of business planning. I know people who own hotels here in Greece. They yeah. couldn't possibly operate on the system because what's happening is they sell their packages in February and March for June, July, August, and September. And they get paid. All right? Now, what happens if between, let's say, February, March, and July, October, September, the currency is down 30, 40, 50%? They're wiped out.
Yeah.
So you can't do business.
You just can't do it.
Yeah.
So the dollar is it, and the U.S. bond market is going to be it. Now, I'll just throw one last thing on this subject out for people. I got very interested in the investment business when I was a kid, 17, 18, and I'm almost 68 now, which means 50 years ago.
Okay.
This was in the 70s. I was very, very interested in the investment business, and I was living in Costa Rica and sitting on a beach reading books, getting ready to come back to the United States to go to college. And I really got interested in the investment business because it looked like a really interesting way to make money. Now, this is in 75, 76. The markets weren't good in 75, 76, and the interest rates were going up. And the book I read that introduced some of the investment ideas to me and was the most interesting was a book called Anyone Can Make a Million by Morton Shulman. And what was interesting about that book, Ike, was good old Mort made several million dollars and described how he did it with bonds in an environment where rates were going up, specifically convertible bonds. In other words, we were in an environment where rates went straight up from 74 to 80 when Reagan came in. And this man published a book on how to make $1 million with bonds. In other words, a rising interest rate market is not necessarily bad for bonds. It's just different. And what I would tell people to do, if they're interested in that, is go to their used bookstores and find books that were written in the 70s. And you can open the cover of the book and see that it was published in 1970.
Good advice.
Or 74, whatever.
Okay.
Buy those books and read what to do, because that may very well be what you're going to want to do.
Good advice.
I have a whole library of them.
All right. Anything else you want to add on the subject before we move to my last question?
No. Let's just go on, and we've gone way on beyond what most people are probably going to want to listen to.
Okay. What are your thoughts on GLD?
There's a seasonal trade in GLD that starts in November and runs through January. And I think that trade has started early, and I've got points in my letter on where I want to buy GLD for that trade going on a pullback here, which I think GLD is going to have.
I'm with you.
There is still no sign of professional accumulation in GLD to speak of, which means that this is a seasonal trade, and commodities have seasonality attached to them.
Yeah.
And but it's a rental. You're looking to sell this somewhere, not invest in it for the long term. And there's one other thing, Ike, that you may not know, and the only reason I know it or am in a position to know it is because most of my client base is professional financial advisors and money managers. I don't deal with retail people generally, although if somebody who is a retail person subscribes, he's obviously welcome to subscribe, and all you nice people listening to this interview, you're of course welcome to subscribe, but you may not like it. It may not be for you. But one of the things I've learned is there is a very large amount of structured products in GLD that expire around 184
okay.
in January. And that may be why gold is rallying now.
Well, Fred, anything else you would like to add?
No, Ike, except this is an interesting time. You know, I think, as I say, I think the market is close to a bottom, and bonds are close to at least a tradable bottom, which means, you know, we should be buying both of them in here. We'll have to see how we look in 6-7 months, but I think in 2 or 3 months, things are going to look much better than they do now.
Fred, thank you. Have a great day.
You too, Ike.